Hello and welcome to Life with Purpose Radio. Rod Hampton here again with more inspirational stories of people sharing Christ around the world. And here's a glimpse at this week's stories.
Hello, I'm Juliana Smoke. Coming up, we're going to find out what happened when a family answered the Lord's call to sell their possessions and move to inner city Reno.
I'm John Graham, and if you've been watching Discovery Channel's number one reality show, Gold Rush, you know about Todd Hoffman. He joins us today on The Culture Connection.
Hello, I'm Ron Lawson. Later, we'll talk with a missionary who wants to help churches develop music and worship leaders for the future.
I'm Myrna Brown. Singer-songwriter Andrew Peterson has a special love for C.S. Lewis. Hear how he turned that admiration into a ministry.
Also today, Matt Dice, Shaved Ice, and M28 Church in Atlanta, Georgia on our Missionary Moment. That's all today on this week's edition of Life with Purpose Radio. From the suburbs to the inner city of Reno, Nevada is where this couple is ministering now. So let's hear the story from Life with Purpose Radio's Juliana Smoke.
Bill and Penny Royer from Life Church in Reno, Nevada were living the comfortable American dream in the suburbs when the Lord led them to do something quite radical, that is, sell their house and move their family into inner city Reno. Now they minister and live alongside those they've been called to serve. And Penny Royer joins us today on Life with Purpose Radio. Welcome, Penny.
Thank you.
The Lord led your family to inner city Reno about 4 years ago. Take us back to when the Lord began to stir in your family's heart.
Well, it happened when we were volunteering at the Reno Sparks Gospel Mission and realized that people were having a hard time after they graduated from the recovery program. And God just put it on our heart to live life with people and to share lives with them and to be in a place where we can encourage them and support them. And so we did that. We put our house on the market, and it sold right away. And so we were left with finding a place, and three fourplexes became available. And just the configuration of the apartments just really fit our vision for living in community with people and sharing lives.
Now you all own an apartment complex, and your family lives there too.
Yes, we have three fourplexes, and we live in the top of one of the fourplexes.
And tell us about the people who you all minister to.
We have one apartment that's dedicated to girls who have aged out of foster care. They turn 18, and there's an independent living program, and so they live in one of our apartments. We have some apartments that are dedicated to people who have graduated from the Reno Sparks Gospel Mission Recovery Program or other recovery programs, and we have some Hispanic families that have lived there since we've owned the buildings.
Wow. Wow. And how do you all go about ministering and serving those living next to you?
We have a community-wide barbecue on Friday night. We have a Kids First Club on Tuesday night and do a gospel-centered program with the kids in our neighborhood and have Easter egg hunts. We have a harvest party, and we have a community garden that some neighbors of ours help us with. So those are some of the ways.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like you all are just being intentional to build relationships and do life with people.
We are. We put a lot of energy into that.
Right, right. And just all along the way, you're looking for ways to share Jesus.
Yes.
And do you see the walls come down and doors open when you live alongside?
Oh, absolutely. We've been there 4 years now, and just now some of the walls with our Hispanic neighbors are coming down, and that's taken a while. I do an ESL class, and some of the ladies in our neighborhood come to that. And also parents of our Kids First Club kids, that has opened doors for us, being involved in their kids' lives and putting on their kids has opened doors.
Right, right. And now the Lord has led you all to plant a church.
Yes. So we opened the church about 100 yards away from our house on Easter, and we just determined that we were going to be a church of the community, for the community. So people walk to church. People in our neighborhood, we consider them a part of our church ministry, whether or not they attend. And so if somebody's pregnant, we'll have a baby shower for them, and that's just a way of showing them God's love. And many people in our neighborhood wouldn't feel comfortable in a traditional suburban church, and so this is a place where people can come and feel comfortable and loved.
Penny, what does it mean to you to see how the Lord has used you and your family?
You know, for a long time, I thought that I was just an ordinary person and that God could never use me and that I was destined to just be a mediocre Christian. But just stepping out and just being there and just showing up has really transformed my life, and realizing that God can use anybody.
And that God has a purpose for all of us.
He does. You know, you can spend your time thinking about, oh, I wonder what my purpose is. I wonder what God wants me to do. But it's not until we step out in faith that he can start using us, and where our passions and our desires for him become charged or awakened.
Penny, I appreciate you joining us today and sharing how the Lord is using you and your family.
It was great to be able to share with you.
For Life with Purpose Radio, I'm Juliana Smoke.
Life with Purpose Radio.
Hi, this is Mike Griffin, Public Affairs Representative of the Georgia Baptist Convention. The fight for religious liberty has come to Georgia, and here's your opportunity to get involved. Please contact your Georgia State Representative and Senator and ask them to support the religious liberty legislation that has been introduced in the Georgia General Assembly. Now, for more information, go to gabaptist.org/public affairs. That's gabaptist.org/public affairs. God bless you, and thank you for standing up for our First Amendment rights.
Thanks for listening to Life with Purpose Radio. The Discovery Channel's number one reality show is Gold Rush, and one cast member is not afraid of talking about his faith. And he does that with John Graham on Today's Culture Connection.
The Discovery Channel's number one reality show is called Gold Rush. You've probably seen it, and if you have, you certainly know about Todd Hoffman. Not only is he a prospector for gold, but he is also a strong believer in Christ. Todd joins us today on the Culture Connection. Todd, how are you?
Not too bad. I'm at home with the family. And
now, you had a very tumultuous last season on Gold Rush. Tell our listeners, if they're not viewers, kind of catch us up on some of that.
Last year we mined in Guyana, and it just was a horrible thing. Our guide got sick and started dying, and we lost quite a bit of money, and it was just a hard, you know, kind of a horrible time. We're just lucky that none of my guys died.
Wow.
So always wanted to try the jungle. So did the rest of my team, and it was just really a very tough time for us.
Well, Todd, how did you get into gold prospecting anyway?
You know, my dad had mined when I was a kid up out of Fairbanks, so I'd always kind of knew that, you know, the possibilities. When gold started taking off, you know, I said, you know what, we're gonna go for this. We're going to try this. And basically put it all on the line on a bunch of junky equipment and just went for it. You know, five years later, we're still going.
Now, your faith has a lot to do with what's going on the program. Can you tell us a little bit about your faith journey?
You know, I was raised in a Christian church, but, you know, I would say that where, you know, in a young man's life, I'd say about your sophomore year in high school, you kind of have to make a decision. Is this my, you know, is this my parents' faith or is this mine, you know?
Yeah.
And that's where it became mine. You start to walk with the Lord in a different way. You know, I'm no poster boy for the Christian faith, but I'll tell you what, I've walked with the Lord a long time, and it's hard to imagine a day without living with Christ in your heart. You know, having said that, you know, we're still rough, you know. If you come up to me and say something about my mom, I'll still, like, probably punch you pretty hard. You probably, we have Bible studies two times a week in Dave Turn's trailer. It's cool.
How does your faith factor in what people see on the program?
Well, you know, we always try to say a prayer in the show, and, you know, they used to cut a lot of them out, but they put them in, and now it's funny because we'll be shooting a scene or something, or getting done with the day mining, and we're shooting, and they're like, you know, hey George, wouldn't this be a nice place for a prayer? And I'm like, well, all right, man, let's do that, you know.
Yeah.
No, we lost so bad. I mean, it was just like watching us get our butts kicked, and, you know, last year. And I always said, you know, the only way we can glorify God in this situation is just let people see how we deal with loss, how we, you know, what are we going to do with this, you know?
Well, man, that reality, that truly is reality television, just to show folks, you know what? Junk happens, and you got to figure out how to live through it.
Yeah, it did. And it was tough for Discovery, you know, because, like, you're one of their teams basically getting brutalized. We're back. You know, this year we're back. We're back for another round.
What can we look forward to in this next bit of the season?
I can't tell you how things end, but I can tell you that we get a chance to mine again. We are actually getting some decent gold right now. We have the biggest wash plant in the Klondike, and we're on deck. You know, our goal is 1,000 ounces. Whether we hit it or not, I can't say. But I'll tell you what, we're looking like we're on our way.
Outstanding. Well, Todd, thank you so much for spending some time with us today. We certainly can't wait to see how this season ends up, and we'll pray for your blessing for your crew and safety and profitability for sure. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. You can certainly catch Gold Rush and Todd Hoffman and his team on the show Gold Rush, which airs on Discovery Channel. And until next time, this is John Graham bringing you the Culture Connection.
Each week on Life with Purpose Radio, we bring you stories of people living their lives of purpose and of caring Christians around the world. As you listen, we hope that you are encouraged to live your life with purpose. And you can share that with those in our community and connect with us here at Life with Purpose Radio. It's as simple as going to Facebook/LWP Radio or maybe Twitter @LWP Radio. And you can add your comments about today's program. Send an email to us. Email is always good at stories@lifewithpurposeradio.com. One more time, stories@lifewithpurposeradio.com. And we look forward to your questions, comments, and story suggestions. And let us hear from you today. And by the way, you can get in on our free book offer. We'd love to send you the hardback devotional called Words of Life from Dr. J. Robert White, Executive Director of the Georgia Baptist Convention. Just head over to lifewithpurposeradio.com/freebook, lifewithpurposeradio.com/freebook, and we'll get it into the mail to you just for being a listener to the program. Well, now on with our stories for this week. Here's Myrna Brown.
Thanks, Rod. Singer-songwriter Andrew Peterson has a special love for C.S. Lewis. Hear how he turned that admiration into a ministry.
All right, thanks, Myrna. Also ahead is a story of church planter of Church M28 and Shaved Ice Pro, Matt Dye, in Atlanta, Georgia, on our Missionary Moment. Before all of that, though, let's head over to Ron Lawson. He's in the Life with Purpose radio studio for the story of Future Worship Leaders.
Thanks, Rod. All churches face the issue of preparing leaders for the future. And an important area of concern is how to develop music leaders for continued worship and ministry. Dr. J. Robert White, Executive Director for the Georgia Baptist Convention, talks with a missionary whose mission is to develop young people to be music and worship leaders for the church of tomorrow. Let's listen.
I'm so glad to have in the studio with me today Keith Chandler, one of our Georgia Baptist State missionaries and one of the strong leaders in the ministry of music and worship. He helps to support and lead our Sons of Jubal and Jubilaire groups, our singing men and women. And speaking of those groups, if you ever have a chance to hear them in concert, it will be an amazing and memorable worship experience for you. I would encourage our listeners to look for those opportunities. Keith, thank you so much for being with us on Life with Purpose Radio.
It's my pleasure to be here today.
I know you have over 25 years in music leadership, greatly qualified as a trained musician and worship leader. What is your perspective on the importance of music in church today?
I think that church music today, of course, we've gone through a transformation in my ministry over the years. People still see music as an integral part of worship. It is not worship itself, but it certainly is a part of worship, which includes the preaching of the Word of God, the reading of Scripture. But I think music is a very important part from Scripture. I think that Scripture mandates that music be a part of worship.
And a concern for all churches is how we can continue to grow and build existing church leaders, but also to nurture young leaders, the ones to come, to be the worship leaders for the future. How should churches approach this need, and what are the goals that you have to see churches build these future music and worship leaders?
Well, I think that everything that we do here in music and worship ministries is part of that goal. And, of course, the goal is to replicate ourselves in ministry. what I did as a teenager. Darwin Caldwell, who's the minister, the pastor at Jefferson Avenue Baptist Church, was my minister of music. Mm-hmm. And he took me through discipleship. We memorized scripture together. And because of his ministry to me, now that's kind of how I dedicated my life to help others. And so I've had several young guys that I've helped nurture to train with conducting choirs or leading in worship. I think that's a very important part for our churches, not only individually, but some of the things we do in music ministry here at Georgia Baptist to lead churches, to nurture those young leaders, to use them as pianists and leaders and directors in the churches.
Well, let's give some kudos to one of our churches, maybe one of our smaller or medium-sized churches that's doing an unusually good job of developing young worship leaders.
I have one example is Whitewater Baptist Church. Mm-hmm. Cheryl Dorsey is the minister of music there. She's been there for many years. She uses a lot of the ministries in the Georgia Baptist Convention music and worship ministries. She brings students to our different events, but she also has different leaders playing piano, leading worship, helping direct choirs, children's choirs, and she is one of the most effective leaders in producing those young leaders for tomorrow.
That's awesome. We hand her some flowers today.
Absolutely.
That's outstanding. What specific opportunities exist for churches to engage in developing worship leaders and specifically children and youth?
Well, the most important thing, I think, would be our summer event that we call Church Music Georgia. This year, we will be emphasizing children, as we always do, children leadership. And so a lot of our youth, a lot of the young leaders are able to work in those areas. But we also offer areas in handbells. We offer leadership responsibilities in worship leading, not only contemporary, but traditional. And so that's really a training for music ministry broad. It's for every part of music ministry in the church. And that's this summer. We'd love for everybody to be a part of that. But we also offer, as far as music leadership, is our Surge 150 camps in the summer. Our youth 1 and 2, we have our middle school camp and our high school camp. In our high school camp, we have a specific track that we use to formulate the leaders of tomorrow, and we call that our contemporary track. And they can learn guitar, they can learn leading worship, they can do hymn arranging, they can do all these things in that track. But also, the more traditional minister of music can come and learn choral conducting, theory, and just the traditional type things. And so this is a great opportunity for not only middle school youth, but high school youth.
Well, I've got a guitar at home I need to learn how to play. Can I show up at that?
Absolutely.
And learn how to play that guitar?
I'll sign you up just after we finish
okay.
This interview.
Hey, you're getting a lot of response from children and young people. I heard Dr. Duncan, who heads up music and worship here for us at the convention, comment on some youth program you had recently with over 400 students. What was that about?
We had Real Fest. It used to be called our Youth Choir Festival. Mm-hmm. This is where choirs all over Georgia could come and be adjudicated. But now we've turned it into where they learn 5 anthems. They come unprepared. They come and we teach them that weekend. And so many churches have used this event to start youth choirs. They would bring what they could. They would learn those anthems and then be able to go back and sing them in their churches. And this year we had 547 total. That includes adults. But it was a great weekend at First Baptist Marietta and just a great, great event. Cliff Durham was our choral director. And then our director, Steve Tyndale from Truett McConnell College, and he did our orchestra. But just an absolutely great, great weekend for young people.
It's wonderful to see so many young people and children involved in preparation for leading in worship music.
It really sure is. It absolutely is.
Keith, you're devoted to what you do. You pour yourself into it. You work very hard. And I'm so thankful for you because music is such a vital part of worship. Every time we gather together in church.
Absolutely.
Music prepares our hearts for the spoken word. Thank you so much for what you're doing, and thank you for being with us on Life with Purpose Radio.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity.
For more information on the Surge 150 Young People's Music and Worship Camp, go to our website, lifewithpurposeradio.com. For Life with Purpose Radio, I'm Ron Lawson.
He's been writing and singing songs for more than 20 years, so his new project is appropriately called After All These Years. Andrew Peterson tells his story to Myrna Brown now on Live with Purpose Radio.
Thanks, Rod. Well, last year, I attended a one-day conference at the Verizon Amphitheater in Washington, D.C. It was an uplifting day of ministry and sharing, and one of the many memorable moments came when singer-songwriter and author Andrew Peterson took the stage.
It was high noon in the Valley of the Shadow, when the deep of that valley was bright.
When the mouth of the tomb shouted glory, the groom is alive.
Well, what a treat it is to have Andrew Peterson here on Life with Purpose Radio. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
You have been singing and writing songs for at least two decades, and I like what I read on your website. You said you have been about the business of quietly changing lives in four-minute increments.
I think everybody would feel that way, that the work that they do matters. As long as I can remember, I have been intrigued by the way songs work. There's no other art form quite like it, where in the space of 3.5-4 minutes, you're told a story. But it's not just being told a story, there's poetry involved, there's music involved, and I've actually literally seen the effect of a song hit a person. It's never gotten old to me how God made the world in such a way that this can happen.
You have more examples of that in your latest project, which is After All These Years, and the title track, you call it a song of gratitude. Explain that.
Well, you know, I turned 40, and I wrote the song right around the time I turned 40. I had no idea how real all that scary stuff of business about midlife crises was, you know?
You're a baby. You're a baby, Andrew. Well,
I know, but still, like, you know, I used to think that I wouldn't care if I lost my hair. You know, last couple times I've gotten my hair cut, I've been very self-conscious. I've been like, yeah, it's kind of a little thinner out there than it used to be. And I've been amazed by how easy it is when you're young to kind of discount the weight of aging, or like it's easy to kind of be a little bit arrogant about it. This song was my okay, here I am, I'm 40 now, it's freaking me out in a way that I didn't think it would, and what is it that I've learned in the last however many years? And I thought, if I'm going to write a song and I'm going to sing in the next few years, what do I want it to be about? And I realized that the only proper response really is gratitude. I can't deny the fact that the Lord has abided with me through some pretty dark times. And so the one kind of overwhelming sense that I had when I sat down with my guitar was that God has been an ever-present, and that's something that I give him thanks for.
Oh, yes. All of us, Andrew, really.
After all these years, that's all that I know. Oh, oh.
You are a fiction writer. Tell us a little bit about that.
I guess it started because I read the Narnia books to my little boys when they were probably 5 and 4 years old. What really did it for me was that I remember my little boy Aiden was about 4 years old, maybe 5, mm-hmm. and I heard him on the phone with his uncle, and his uncle said, what are you reading right now? And he's like, oh, my papa, he's reading me The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and it's about this boy, Edmund, who betrays his family, but then Aslan dies for him, and you know, after he comes back to life. And I heard Aiden tell the gospel story to my brother over the phone. This little 5-year-old was able to express the beauty and the wonder of the gospel because C.S. Lewis had told him a great story.
Yes.
And so that was the beginning, and that turned into the Wingfeather Saga. So it's just been one of the greatest joys of my whole life.
C.S. Lewis, of course, a novelist and Christian apologist, the writer of Narnia and then those adventures, wonderful stories. I love them myself. If someone said, Andrew, you know what, you kind of remind me of C.S. Lewis, what would be your reaction to that?
I would probably say they need to go read more C.S. Lewis. I've heard that a few times, and I always take it as the hugest compliment. Hopefully there is, yes, some similar flavor in my books to what he's done. But like, I have no delusions that I'm anywhere the writer that C.S. Lewis or Tolkien were. They couldn't write songs. I do have that on them.
There you go.
I do take some comfort in that.
Well, one last question. I came across something called the Rabbit Room. This came about as a result of your love for C.S. Lewis. This was one of the spots where he hung out, and now you've turned it into this resource.
It's a place online, is that's how it began, for people to come who feel like, I've got this burden to write stories or to write songs, or I love songs and stories, but I feel kind of like a weirdo because nobody else I know likes them like I do. This is a place for you to come and, like, connect. And then the Rabbit Room ended up growing into a conference that we do every year.
Well, Andrew Peterson, what a joy. always a joy to speak with you. We've been talking about your latest project, After All These Years. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much.
And for Life with Purpose Radio. I'm Myrna Brown.
Today's Missionary Moment takes us to Atlanta, Georgia, and M28 Church, here on Life with Purpose Radio.
My name is Matt Dye. I'm a church planter in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm planting in Midtown, which is in the heart of Atlanta, right in the downtown area. We really felt this mission was called to move into a major city. And I immediately marked Atlanta off the list because Atlanta was in the middle of the Bible Belt. And honestly, after I came one time, I literally just kind of began to weep as I was driving up the interstate, and I knew that this was the place that we needed to come. Atlanta is an amazing city. It is multicultural. It's got a very large influence, not only in the country, but around the world. And we need church plants popping up all over this urban area. But how do you reach into an area where you don't know a whole lot of people and into a culture that doesn't respond to, we're a church, here's where we meet, and people will come? That just doesn't happen here. Being a church planter doesn't come with a salary. And Kona Ice, which is a Hawaiian shaved ice franchise, was kind of shown to me as a possibility.
Can I get banana, please?
With shaky knees and lots of prayer, my wife and I, we decided to give it a try, and it's been amazing. It has put me in front of literally thousands upon thousands of people, and so I see this fully as just part of my life and part of ministry.
There you go, my man.
I've shared the gospel from my truck. I get to invite people to our worship service, get to tell them who we are, they meet my family, and so I see this truck as just really a platform that gets me in my community.
Well, welcome and good morning. My name is Matt Dye. I am the pastor here at M28 Church.
My schedule is late into the evening, into the early morning. That's what I knew the Lord was calling me into. So when I came, I really didn't know what I was doing. I tell people, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just trying to be faithful.
I'm just kind of in awe of these direct answers that God has given.
It's one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life, but it's one of the most rewarding things. And I have found for myself personally in church planning, it's the closest I think I've ever had to a front row seat of really seeing what God's doing in the lives of people.
Raised to walk in newness of life.
For more information about North American and international missionaries, head to lifewithpurposeradio.com and follow the links under today's program date. On Life with Purpose Radio, we believe that the truth of Christ is to be shared with everyone. We hope today's stories have inspired you to live life as you heard about Inner City Ministry, the faith story of Todd Hoffman, Surge 150 Music Shop, Andrew Peterson, and church planter Matt Dye in Atlanta. Well, we'll see you next time for more stories of people living their lives with purpose. And visit us online at lifewithpurposeradio.com for information on today's stories. Life with Purpose Radio is a production of the Georgia Baptist Convention. Dr. J. Robert White, Executive Director, and in association with Southern Baptist State Conventions and agencies, including the International Mission Board and the North American Mission Board, and is made possible by gifts through the Cooperative Program. I'm Rod Hampton, and from everyone here, thank you for listening to Life with Purpose Radio.